Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Monday, July 20th, 2020. I'm Beckler. It's July... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm Shauna. No, it's fine.
I got ahead of myself there. It's July 20th already.
I know.
What the heck? I looked at a sheet of paper when I got here this morning. It said July 20th, and I was like, that can't be right. But it is.
It really feels like... Like, to me, it's like summer is halfway over. Even though it's not quite yet, but it kind of does feel that way, right? It's like, okay, we're approaching the halfway mark. We got 1 month left, and then into September, which is then school time.
Normally, Stampede is kind of like, when Stampede ends, you're like, all right, we're on the back nine of summer here. Probably a month and a half of nice weather left.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like I've really taken good advantage of the summer so far. We had a great weekend. I got to see my parents and friends, and we went hiking, and had a little barbecue, had some drinks. It was awesome. Went for a bike ride, went for a run. Like, really just crushing summer so far.
Oh, yeah. That's how I feel. I've been outside basically every day. Like, I was out and swimming this weekend at a lake and watching windsurfers and stand-up paddle boarding. Yeah, it's just like, with the weather warm and you can do all that stuff, it's the best.
I think we're going to float the river this week at some point.
Good call.
And then I got a few other things to check off the summer bucket list, but it's going well so far.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Well, we got another hailstorm yesterday.
And then one on Friday,
too. Two more on the weekend.
We had Friday. We had hail on Friday at our house. We didn't get the one yesterday, but I saw the photos of it.
I saw both. Does anybody else see those giant raindrops now and just head for somewhere safe? Like, and I don't mean parking unsafely under like an underpass or something where you shouldn't go. But like, if I start seeing those raindrops and I'm in my vehicle now, I'll be like, where's the closest parkade or somewhere that I can hide?
You can totally tell when it's about to hail because the raindrops get kind of splatty.
Yes, that's it.
The sound changes even. You're like, oh, that doesn't sound good.
I call it the case of the splats. I'm like, oh, Mother Nature has sick bum again. Here it comes. Just... You're like, oh, there they are.
You become a real expert in hail.
You do. I see the clouds now from afar, and I'm like, in approximately 1 hour, we will be getting hail. Everybody's like, what? I'm like, it's coming. It's coming.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the scene in Forrest Gump where he's talking about the rain in Vietnam. We've been through every kind of hail there is. Little bit of stinging hail. Big old fat hail. Hail that flew in something sideways.
It's true.
And sometimes hail that seemed to come straight up from underneath.
It's exactly what it
Calgary,
is. That's it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My mom said she got a call last week from the Jehovah's Witnesses. They can't go door to door during the pandemic.
Oh.
So they're cold calling. They're making phone calls.
Do they have like a call center set up right now?
I don't even know how they got her number.
That's a good question.
Are they just...
randomly, blindly calling numbers?
They're going through the phone book. They're starting at A.
Wow.
Ahmed A. Aubrey.
I mean, to be fair...
How are you doing today?
Yeah, that's a big part of their... what they do, right? They have to spread the knowledge of the Jehovah's Witnesses somehow.
It is. Yeah, for many religions, that's like part of the call to duty, basically, is to proselytize.
I wonder if they'll go back to doing door-to-door after this. Or if they're going to just really appreciate not having doors slammed in their faces and maybe just continue on with the cold calling instead?
It's a good question. I would imagine that their conversion numbers are down during the pandemic, I would think. Like,
right.
That face-to-face, you know, it's just like...
It's true. Seeing someone's
like a sales job, basically.
Wow.
But this guy called and asked if my mom would like to do a quick prayer over the phone with him. And my mom said, no, thank you. Mm. She said, I'm Catholic and... I'm happy with it, but that's it. They're doing what they can. You know, everyone's pivoting.
You can't blame them for trying. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're pivoting. Wow.
Gotta keep those conversion rates high.
Yeah, gotta keep going.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I mentioned this briefly in the news, but the Blue Jays will not be playing home games in Toronto.
This blows me away.
I know.
We are less than like Friday. Friday is the opening day for the MLB season, and now the government decides the Jays can't hold home games. So what?
Yeah.
What the hell are they supposed to do? How do you plan a baseball season in 5 days?
I know. I guess they've been kind of looking into this. They knew that there was a chance this could happen, so they've got a couple proposed options. One of them is to play in Buffalo, where their AAA affiliate is.
Okay.
The other is Dunedin, Florida, but of course that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, as Dunedin is also a hot spot.
So their concern is obviously all these teams coming and going across the border, because I think the MLB is the only league that hasn't isn't doing hub cities,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they were actually going to travel to each city, and there's a lot of travel in baseball.
Yeah, and that's still happening. Like, the Blue Jays, of course, will still be traveling to the U.S., but I think the big fear was all of these United States teams and all these people from the U.S. where the hotspots are coming into Canada. So our government was like, we don't want that.
I don't necessarily disagree with the government because, I mean, people aren't allowed to come and go right now, so why should pro athletes be given exemption?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just it, I guess. I was trying to think, though. I was like, what does this mean for Buck and Pat? Because I was reading that some of the commentators are actually staying in their home city, and they're going to be broadcasting from there while looking on monitors.
Okay.
Rather than crossing the border as well, again, to try and eliminate that extra travel. But I was like, that would be a bit tougher.
Well, I mean, we know that, this has shown us that remote broadcasting technology is very possible.
I guess
so. The last few months, but Buck and Pat could probably pull it off.
But they're old. It'll be hard for them to even look at the monitors.
They are old, yeah.
It's a beautiful night here in this stuffy video production booth where we're watching the game on a couple of 13-inch monitors.
Buck, I think watching is a bit of a generous term. I can't see a damn thing.
I believe that's Vladdy Guerrero Jr. at the plate. It's hard to tell.
Oh, that's an easy one, Buck. I could spot that juicy rump a mile away.
I suppose when you've spent as much time looking at one man's ass as Tabby has.
You show me a Blue Jay's ass, and I'll tell you which Blue Jay that is, no problem.
Just a reminder that it is, in fact, Tuesday night at the ballpark. It's hard to tell as we're in a windowless room in the bowels of the stadium.
Oh, there's another ass to the plate there, Buck. I believe that's Bizio, based on the geometry of his gluteus maximus.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
City Council's meeting this morning, I think at 9:30, and one of the items on the agenda is mandatory masks, and whether or not Calgary should go ahead with that.
Yeah.
Do you think they're gonna mandate masks, Shauna?
I'm wondering, because I was reading one article where they said mandatory masks on transit is what they were going to talk about. So I'm wondering if it's just transit. It's probably going to come up as a whole in general. I don't know. I could see them mandating it on transit for sure.
Mm-hmm. There are a number of places in Canada, I think in Ontario specifically now, where anytime you go into a public space, I think you need to be wearing a mask. Indoor public spaces, is it?
Yes. Where my parents live in Peel region, it's like that. I think downtown Toronto is now mandatory as well. Man, it's a tough call. I know a lot of people are not overly excited about the idea of mandatory masks.
There was a anti-mask protest yesterday downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not thrilled about the idea of punishing people who aren't wearing masks.
No.
And I've also on this show voiced my concern about when the mask mandate would end.
I know.
But I was thinking, if it keeps us from having to close down businesses again, any businesses.
Yeah.
Then, I don't know, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world.
And that's what it comes down to for me as well. I don't want to go through a second wave of everything shutting down, and it's happening in the States here and there, and I'm just like, man, we don't want that again. Do you want everything to entirely shut back down again?
There are businesses that didn't make it out of the first round of lockdowns, and there will be businesses who won't make it out of the second round, and if we can prevent that, then
I'll toss
a mask on.
Yeah, I know a lot of business owners, and they basically said that. They're like, we barely made this out of this first wave, and if it happens again, we're done. We're completely done. It's just like, we don't want that.
No.
I know.
My big thing is if City Council does decide to go in that direction, I hope that they have some sort of path to when we're not going to have to wear masks again. Like when they say if we hit these numbers, then the mask mandate will be removed.
And I think they need that for peace of mind for everybody.
Yeah.
Just give us some sort of roadmap as to when we can take them off again. I know things change every day, but
it can't really be indefinite, I don't think.
No.
You need to put some sort of stipulations in place where we hit these numbers, then you can take your masks off again.
I agree.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Last week, Beckler, you were talking about Formula One and how one of the drivers is the son of one of the owners.
Yeah, Canadian billionaire Lawrence Stroll. His son, Lance, drives for one of the teams.
And you're saying that his son is not really as good as some of the other drivers, perhaps.
Yeah, he's getting better, but it's kind of the talk in the sport is that he... The big reason that he's there is because his dad owns the team.
Right. You know, I got thinking about that a little bit, and I was like, how could you fire your own son? Like, I know a few businesses, quite a few, where the son is working underneath the dad. And to be honest, the son isn't necessarily great at his job. But you know that he's kind of just still there and still in that place because of who his dad is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, how could you, as a dad, though, sit your own son down and be like, you know what, son, you're just not good at this. Like, I'm going to have to fire you.
Yeah, that's a tough situation all around.
Like, I don't see how that could ever be something you could do. You'd fire your son. You then know that you've caused the pain that your son is feeling, and he's part of your family. Like, I'm like, how could you do both? I don't know if you can.
The alternative, though, is to keep your son on when he sucks.
Yeah. And then maybe drive the business down. And there's a lot of risk that goes, I know.
It is a really tough, going into business with family.
Not
it's
good.
Sticky. It's always sticky.
That's all I was thinking about. I was just like, that would be a very tough spot to be in. And I don't know if you could ever, like, is there any examples of people firing their own son in big business like that? Because I can't think of any.
Billy Madison?
Right.
No, he ended up getting the company.
He did.
But that was more because Eric was a weasel.
It's true. You really.
This isn't a real example. This is. This
but even is in that one, yeah, you're kind of screwed. Both options aren't that great, really.
But you'd want to help your kid out. Like, what? You start a business and you grow this business, and you can't even help your kids get a job. And what are you doing it for?
I know.
Right? But then, also though, you know the children of the business owner are going to be under probably even more scrutiny than the rest of the employees in most cases. So, well,
and that's really the only way I could see that working is if you were self-aware enough as the son that you actually said, you know what, I'm not fit for this position, and you step down. But you know that that's tough to do as well, mm-hmm. especially because a lot of these positions, you're making a lot of money and you'll never make it doing anything else. So who's going to be the one to go, you're right, you know, I should probably get out of this.
Yeah, man, that is just, that's tough all around.
The whole situation is awful.
Either you give them the job and you're a bad guy because you keep them on when they're not good, or you fire them and you're a bad guy because you fired your kid.
Yeah. It's a sticky situation. You're super really sticky. In a tough spot.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Someone sent us a funny text and said, at that point, what you got to do if it's your son is you need to, like, encourage them to pursue their other passions.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, you know, well, we're going to miss you here at the company, but I think we'll be okay. You got to guide them in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, I suppose. Be like, you know, I think you would really excel at this. Like,
have you considered traveling?
I'll even...
Would you?
Like, I'll assist you in finding your niche, you know? This is clearly not what makes you happy. There's a lot of things you could say, just buzzwords, you know?
And if you run a successful business, I'm sure you have plenty of contacts. That's true. I wonder if you could reach out to someone and be like, I need you to take my son off my hands.
Yeah.
Offer him a good job.
And they're like, we don't want him either.
I'll even pay his salary if you want, but... Like, you need to just get him out of here.
Get him out. No.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I'm sitting here drinking an ice cold Diet Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
How good is an ice cold soda pop, Sean? If it seems early, this is lunch for us.
It is true. I just finished my lunch too. This is our schedule. It's very
ice
strange.
Cold pop.
You know what though? It's got to be in a bottle.
A plastic
like
bottle?
A glass bottle, if you can find an
glass
old school
bottle.
Glass bottle, that's the best kind.
I agree. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Can is my second choice.
I agree.
If glass bottle isn't available.
And then plastic.
I would say then fountain, then plastic.
Oh, I see.
Plastic is at the bottom
fountain.
For me.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've talked about how great draft beer is before.
Oh, my God.
But something about...
Okay, just hold on. The first draft beer after every place was closed. I still remember that feeling. Oh, God,
it was phenomenal.
Okay. It was great. Anyway.
But there's still a very special place for an ice cold pop.
There is.
Especially a full sugar pop.
Oh, yeah.
What a treat that is. What a ride.
Those 20 tablespoons sugar straight to my veins.
I almost never do it because it's so bad for you.
But.
And that makes it even more of a treat.
It does.
It's downright sinful, Shauna.
Oh, my God. going to be okay over there? Oh. Although you don't have the full sugar at the moment.
I don't. I'm
so
just
you're
having
only experiencing half
cold
of it.
Diet pee, but oh man, if it was full sugar, I don't think I could even contain
it's
myself
a thrill
over
a
here.
Minute.
BNS in 20 minutes or less. Etymology
with Shauna. Yesterday I learned kind of a random one, but I found it fascinating. I learned where the word phony came from, as in like fake or made up phony. Mm-hmm. So it's most likely that the word comes from an old con that used to happen called the phony rig, which phony is an old Irish word for finger ring. So you call your ring your phony back then, I guess. And rig used to mean trick or swindle. So the phony rig con worked like this. The con artist would accidentally drop a piece of cheap jewelry in front of their mark or their target. They would then pick it up while expressing all kinds of relief that they hadn't lost this valuable ring that they thought they were lost. And then they'd pretend it was worth a lot as if it was made of gold. And then if they were lucky, they'd sell it to the mark or the person that they did this in front of for much more than it was actually worth.
Now, and that worked?
Yes. Back then, and I was thinking about this, I'm like, I have no idea how that would work, because if I saw somebody drop a priceless ring and then pick it back up, I wouldn't then go, oh, I'm so happy you found that priceless ring. May I buy it off you?
Oh, thank God I found my ring. Would you like it? Man, people must have been easy to sucker back then.
Oh my God, that's all I can think. Like, I mean, it was a different time, and maybe the person who dropped the ring, maybe they would look desperate, and then somebody would look at the ring and be like, oh, if it's really worth that much, maybe I can get a deal on this ring. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. Because, yeah, that wouldn't work these days. It just wouldn't. But I guess by the 20th century, the spelling of the word phony was modified to phony. And so from phony rig, we get the word phony, which now refers to anything that's kind of fake or counterfeit. Because, of course, once this con was done, the person actually bought the ring, they'd bring it back and realize it was worth nothing at all. It was, in fact, phony.
And the trickster was long gone.
And he was gone.
Etymology with Shauna. BNS in 20 minutes or less.
What do you think are the jobs that most often get asked to work for free? I saw someone on Instagram asking for graphic design help, and I thought about the poor graphic designers who are always getting hit up for free work, yeah. Right? I just need a quick logo for this. It'll only take a few minutes. It's like, but that's that person's...
That's their work.
It's their trade. That's their skill.
That's what they get paid to do.
Yeah.
You should pay them for that.
You should definitely, or at least offer to. If they offer it for free, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should pay people for the work that they do.
You know, mechanics I always think about, because if you have a friend who's a mechanic and there's something wrong with your car, oh, can you just take a quick look at this for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh yeah, just like, what do you think it is? You know, like,
diagnostics is part of my business.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's more time consuming normally than just like, oh, that's your problem right there. You know? So that's one I always think of. What else? IT people, maybe.
Yeah,
I find people when it comes to like, yeah, computers and electronics and stuff. If
for
you know
sure.
someone, you have a friend who, you know, is well versed in that. It's always like, well, can you help me with this? Like, if I just bring it over, can you fix this up for me? No, my job.
McKenna thought musicians too.
Yeah,
because she said,
oh yeah,
you'll get lots of exposure. We don't have any money to pay you, but there'll be lots of people there. It'll be great exposure for your band.
Yeah, exposure is one of those things that.
You should pay people who are working for you, unless it's a charity thing and nobody's making any
That's
money.
That's different. Totally different. But yeah, if it's people's time that is being used, you need to pay. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, people's time is worth money alone. Even plumbers, I'm always like, you know, something's wrong with you might come take a quick look at this.
Just got a quick turd I need wrangled.
My turd clogged the toilet again. Come help.
You handle that for free?
Oh, God.
No, absolutely.
No.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was unfortunately sent an article over the weekend about the best police forces in the world. Now, I didn't realize this, but police forces are rated in terms of training and effectiveness, and I didn't kind of know all that. The whole article was kind of fascinating.
I listened to a podcast recently where they were talking about policing and how the host or the guest said that there is no method of ranking police forces, and he was saying that there should be one. And you're saying there is?
There is. There's a competition. And I guess the winning police force was one I'd never even heard of before, called the GSG-9. And they're the elite police tactical unit of the German Federal Police. And they were founded after the 1972 Olympics when there was that Munich terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they won the last competition. But all the members for that police force have to be top marksmen. And there's, I guess, 1,500 operations that this police force have done, and they've only used their weapon 5 times of the 1,500.
Wow.
And they were saying that that is something that adds to them winning. On top of that, only 1 in 5 applicants even make it through the first step.
Okay, so it's hyper-competitive.
It's very elite and hyper-competitive, yeah. They also, though, won the 2012 Warrior Competition, which I also didn't realize was a thing, but this is the big competition that they do where police forces from all over the world actually come together and they all compete together.
I was just reading about this. This is in Jordan, in the country of Jordan. But then there's also like the police and the World Police and Fire Games.
Right.
Which happens, I think, every 2 years. Calgary hosted in 1997.
Oh.
And it's the, in terms of like participants, it's the second largest event like that after the Summer Olympics. It's even bigger than the Commonwealth Games.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But this also brought me to the realization that competition cops are a thing.
I suppose they are, aren't they?
It's they compete. They're cops that compete. They're competition cops.
Competition cops!
Competition cops!
We're cops that compete. We'll make you cry when we defeat you.
Competition cops!
Competition cops!
You running a racket, son?
No, sir. It's a tournament bracket.
That's right.
Don't beat, compete.
Event cops.
Event cops.
We've got reports of PEDs in the weightlifting events. Let's roll.
Did you say deadbeat, son? No, I said compete, sir. That's right.
Athletic cops.
Athletic cops.
After this next event, we have arrest.
Rigged cops.
Oh, my God.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.